outlook on the economy.
The limited data that we have do show a slowdown. On the other hand, as I mentioned, we see the underlying economic fundamentals for growth this year as still very positive.
Exercise bike company Peloton is now being sued for allegedly stealing songs for their workout videos. For years, Peloton has been using songs from artists from Lady Gaga to Drake, Justin Timberlake, and many more. A group of music publishers now banding together to file a $150 million copyright infringement lawsuit against the exercise bike maker. The CEO of the National Music Publishers Association says Peloton has built its business without giving artists and songwriters their fair compensation. And Jimmy Carter now has the distinction of being the longest living president in U.S. history at 94 years, 172 days, surpassing George H.W. Bush's age when he passed away last November. The former president's human rights and anti-poverty organization, the Carter Center, says they are rooting him on to continue. Carter and his wife, Rosalind, lead an active lifestyle and still work with Habitat for Humanity. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you.
It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll be talking about the New Jersey marijuana bill and its impact on businesses. I'll have the three questions one CEO hopes to hear from everyone he interviews, but usually doesn't. I'll have three tips on how to market your business locally and inexpensively. And I'll share four things you should consider before buying equipment for your business. It's Thursday, March 21st, 2019. I'll have all that more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we always check the weather. Currently, it is 40 degrees at 12:05. The forecast shows today it'll be cloudy with periods of rain and a high of 47, with winds gusting to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, more rain and wind with a low of 40 degrees. For tomorrow, showers are likely with winds gusting to 25 miles per hour or higher, and we'll have a high of 51 degrees and a low of 30. Saturday will be partly cloudy and windy with a high of 47 and a low of 28, winds up to 30 miles per hour. And on Sunday, it'll be mostly sunny with some clouds and a high of 58 degrees and a low of 38. A current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently up 203.16 to 25,948.83. The NASDAQ up 80.04 to 7809.01. S&P 500 is up 23.42 to 2847.65. Oil down 7 cents to $60.16 per barrel. Gold is up $8.50 to $1,310.20 an ounce. Welcome to the program, everybody. It's Thursday. It's a little after noon o'clock. It is the least productive day in business. And a lot of people always question, like, why do I say that? Why, you know, I work hard every day. But today and tomorrow are considered to be the least productive days in business. Now, why would that be? I said that also on Cyber Monday, but this actually eclipses that. Today is the first day of the NCAA men's basketball tournament, everybody you know has probably left the office. They're at a bar somewhere or a restaurant with sports TVs like Buffalo Wild Wings, and they are currently watching or getting ready to watch the tip-off of the NCAA tournament. I know when I get back, I have my double monitors in my office. One screen will be on the tournament. The other screen will be set for work. And I, too, am guilty of watching a little bit of basketball on today and tomorrow. Love basketball. Love coaching it, playing it, watching it. And, you know, this is my time of the year. To me, the most wonderful time of the year when college basketball is in full swing. If you're listening to the program, there's a good chance that you're doing that at your computer, and I appreciate that. What I'd like you to also do, and what I would also appreciate, is that you open up another browser, go to Facebook, and find and like the program's Facebook page. It's called Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. This way, you'll be able to get updates midweek, either on what we're going to be talking about on the program, or if there's anything breaking in the news cycle that affects business, I'll bring it to you there as well. At this time in the program, it's time for the business quote of the week. It's brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington, and it's brought to you by legendary college football coach Paul Bear Bryant. He was the legendary coach over at Alabama, the Crimson Tide, back in the 60s and 70s. And he said, "If you believe in yourself and have dedication and pride and never quit, you'll be a winner. The price of victory is high, but so are the rewards." So how do we apply that to business? First of all, you have to, if he says, if you believe in yourself and have dedication and pride and never quit, you'll be a winner. So as I thought about that as it pertains to business, I said, you have to believe in yourself. You have to have dedication and pride to what you're doing. In business, you can never quit. There are no days off. And eventually, you'll become a winner. So do you have that pride, both in yourself, in your product, in your prices, in your employees, in the process? Do you have that dedication? And I know it's hard every day to come into work. A lot of times, people are like, man, I don't know how you, every day, you're back on that gerbil wheel. But it's a necessity. You have to do it. You can't skate through. And if you have pride, which I do, and you never quit, which I won't, then you'll be a winner. The price of victory is high, but so are the rewards. So what is your victory? How would you measure victory in your business? Is it landing a new account? Is it beating out your competition? Is it exceeding your goals for the year, be it in sales or growth or equipment that you wanted to purchase? How are you going to measure your success? And then how would you define yourself as a winner as it pertains to Bear Bryant's quote? So again, if you believe in yourself and have dedication and pride and never quit, you'll be a winner. The price of victory is high, but so are the rewards. And it's funny because I started a new rotation this week with students from the 100 and Central Work Readiness Program. And these are kids who are on the autism spectrum. And we bring them into local businesses so that they can learn different skills. And so I have two students with me and a job coach. And I notice that one student, if you tell him to do something, he does it. He doesn't complain. He doesn't get frustrated. He just does it. And if he doesn't understand it, he'll either ask questions or he'll figure it out. The other student works to a certain point, gets frustrated, and then the other day he literally just threw a trophy down on the table. He was frustrated that he couldn't get it tightened. And I go, well, that's not going to work here. We have to figure out what's going to – how can we make this easier for you? How can we make this a job that you'll succeed in? And, so constantly working with him, praising him and things like that, and celebrating the small rewards, never quitting, is going to make him successful working with us. So he keeps coming back every day. He's got a great attitude. And I talked to the lady who runs the program today, and she says, he's been coddled all his life. If he said he couldn't do it, people said, okay, you can't do it. And they let him get away with that. And unfortunately, that's not the way I work, and he's about to find that out, and we're going to be working on that so that he can see the success and see the victory, if you will, according to Bear Bryant. So hopefully I'll have updates on that as we go along through the rest of the year. Let's talk about marketing today for a little bit and how local marketing doesn't have to be expensive. So here are three tips and techniques that you can use that hopefully will help you in your marketing efforts. And again, as it pertains to local marketing, ways you can do it and do it inexpensively. So if you can get your audience to trust you, there's nothing that your brand can't do. A local marketing campaign is a great start, getting that buy-in from your local audience. Now, as a local service business, it doesn't always make sense to invest in a massive digital marketing campaign. Sometimes your money is best spent by zooming in on a specific target market, i.e. your community, and leveraging unique strategies that will set your brand apart. The appeal of local marketing is that there's nothing wrong and there's nothing too simple. A simple, targeted approach to marketing will always yield better results or service businesses that are working on limited budgets and capped resources. In particular, local marketing is highly appealing. Now, one of the primary benefits of local marketing is the ability to form local connections, creating that local audience, that local, if you will, fan base for your business. These are often more powerful than the shallow national connections that brands think they're forming with a geographically diverse audience. Big national brands can seem remote to people around the country. As local media has a closer relationship with its audience, people will tend to trust it more, says MarketWeek. If you can be part of that community and talk in the same way as that publication and audience, then people are more likely to listen to what you have to say, and they'll trust you more. So if you can get your audience to trust you, there's nothing that your brand can't do. And local marketing is the most efficient avenue to establishing trust. Then, by all means, you need to pursue it vigorously. So here's three cost-effective tips that you can use to help you with your local marketing. As you zoom in and focus on local marketing, you're going to need to think about the cost of the investment. And here are some cost-effective tips to help you generate results without overshooting your budget. The first is, and I've said this because everybody wants to jump on the social media bandwagon, but don't forget print advertising. Invest in print. There's clearly a need for digital marketing, but don't underestimate the value of local print marketing. At a time when companies are investing every last penny on their marketing budgets into digital campaigns, your audience is becoming saturated with online advertisements and content. You certainly need a presence there. However, it would be smart to set aside a healthy portion of your budget to invest in print. Find a reliable printing partner and develop some creative local marketing campaigns that involve booklets, catalogs, brochures, calendars, and other tangible resources. And your dollar will stretch further. So think about that for just a minute. Even if it was a postcard announcing a sale, if it was, like they mentioned, the calendar, a little gift that can be hung on the refrigerator, what will that do to increase the visibility of your business? Now, the science behind calendars is simple. The average person looks at a calendar 12 times per day. And if you multiply that by 365 days a year, that means that 4,000 times a year, people would be looking at your logo. So when we talk about front of mind presence, that's how you're going to create it. But again, working on things like postcards, direct mail pieces, things like that, don't overlook them. Even though it's going to cost more with postage, bulk mail rates will help a little bit. But when you look at your Facebook feed, when you look at your social media feed, see how many times you go from a friend's post to an ad to an ad to a friend's post to an ad to a friend's post, and all of a sudden you realize that your social media feed is clogged with advertisements. You can also host and attend events. Now, as a service business, you need to get in front of people and build personal connections between them and your brand. One of the optimal ways to do this is through hosting and attending events. Local events are designed to bring people together, typically around a particular cause or interest. Hosted in the community where you do business, they give you the opportunity to meet your audience and put faces to names. When marketed and organized correctly, local events can help build lasting relationships with the community, which in turn will increase brand awareness and retain customers for the long term, says Jane Levy, who's the head of Pink Tree Creative. You can also latch on to other large events via sponsorships, booths, and volunteering. In some cases, this is even more powerful as you get a chance to reach a larger audience and associate your brand with a cause that people already view positively. And then you want to give back to the community is the third way. People want to do business with companies that they believe in, companies that are focused on more than just padding the bottom line. In order to impress and connect with the local audience, you should think about integrating a giving plan into your local marketing efforts. A giving plan involves strategically allocating money towards causes, charities, and initiatives that align with your brand values and connect with your target audience. It'll look different for every business, so spend some time figuring out what you want to achieve. And finally, give your business a boost. Local marketing isn't the answer to all of your brand's challenges and woes, but it's certainly a step in the right direction. Focus on establishing trust via local marketing, and you'll find that your brand becomes more of a staple in the community. You might not get some of the national accolades and reach that larger brands achieve through massive marketing campaigns, but is that what you're really seeking? Carving out a profitable niche in your local market will prove to be plenty effective. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We'll be back right after these messages.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every week. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business. And working overtime for help.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us. And speaking of joining us, I hope that you'll consider joining us for the 10th Annual Women's Leadership Summit, which is titled Own Your Strength, Cultivating Confidence in Communication. The keynote speaker is Megan Lamb from Cisco Systems. The morning panel will talk about how to create meaningful partnerships within the community. That's going to be paneled by Rosemary Fellner from Unity Bank, Linda Kastner of the Alexandria Field Airport, and Karen Whitico from Prevention Resources. Then there'll be breakout sessions, including Reputation Management and Public Relations, hosted by Jessica Smith of Janssen Pharmaceuticals, Social Media and Advertising, brought to you by Audrey Kirchner from Inkna, and Managing Your Personal Brand Using LinkedIn, hosted by Karen Yankovich from Uplevel Media and Good Girls Get Rich. The summit includes breakfast and lunch, and to register, just go to www.huntertonchamber.org or call us at 908-782-7115. The summit is brought to you by Hunterdon Radiological Associates, Starmus Corp, Financial Resources, MSI Plumbing and Remodeling, Tutoris and DeGeorge Law Firm, Raritan Valley Community College, Hunterdon Healthcare, ShopRite, the Women's Business Forum, the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, and Michelle Heidi and Associates, Division of Ameriprise Public Wealth Advisory Practice. So, again, the Women's Leadership Summit is Tuesday, April 9th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Hawk Point Golf Club. I have heard nothing but good things from women who go through that program. So hopefully if you're a woman in business or a woman in a leadership role or in management role, hopefully you can get the day off and join us at the Women's Leadership Summit. Tuesday, April 9th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Let's talk a minute about Instagram. I brought it up last week, and a couple of people were emailing me and saying, is that something that I should be doing in my business? And the answer is a very definitive yes. And why is because rather than trying to tell a long story in an email newsletter or something like that, Instagram allows you to tell a story with a quick caption using photos. And because people are so pressed for time, and if you look at people's dedication, if you will, to time and how much time they're willing to dedicate to certain things, are they going to read an email that's this long, or will they look at a picture, and a picture paints 1,000 words, and a small caption to explain it? So there's 3 great ways that small businesses can use Instagram stories. Now, Instagram stories are a feature that allows you to get creative with your social media posting, and you want to embrace this trend so that you can boost your brand. Instagram stories are over 7 in 10 small businesses, rather, now have at least one social media channel. If you only have one, you're missing the boat. I've said before, you want to have Facebook, Instagram, you want to be on LinkedIn, and there's others that can help you, Pinterest, etc., depending on your business. And nearly 5 in 10 operate an Instagram account. It's easy to see why. It has a simple visual feed, easy engagement features, and options to promote and link to product pages. It's an easy way to reach potential customers and track one's impact on the platform. Still, small business owners might be more reticent to use Instagram stories, a Snapchat-esque feature that lets users post photos and videos to an area separate from their standard feed that, unless saved as a highlight, vanish after 24 hours. Still, local businesses might be missing out by not harnessing both of the site's posting choices. So here are 3 instances when small business content would likely be better suited for Instagram stories than in one's feed. And I'll also discuss how to optimize that content to win major attention and even sales. The first is live gramming events. If your business attends or hosts a special event, IG stories are a great way to show off your participation or live shots with multiple posts without clogging your feed. Stories allow users to easily add text, links, filters, GIFs, and stickers, and more to help tag users and bring those posts to life. Reminder posts about sales, events, and more. Now, if you've already posted about a sale or an event or other news to your feed and don't want to seem repetitive, but do want the event to feel top of mind as it draws closer, add it to your stories page where it can be seen with fresh eyes and will disappear into the internet either after 24 hours. An added benefit, since the stories stay visible for 24 hours, is the best time to post becomes anytime. And finally, tagging users to mobilize customers to share news. Now, you can tag other brands, organizations, media, or users in your stories, and Instagram makes it very easy for those users to add your story to their own with a single click. So if you want to spread the word and quickly get eyes on a major rollout, product, or other bit of news, tag your most engaged followers and influencers and ask them to share. You can further communicate these requests through the direct message feature. Here, you can make a direct private ask. So, again, if you're not using Instagram in your business, you know, everybody pretty much has a Facebook page, you know, either for their business or their personal. But if you're not using Instagram specifically for your business, you're missing out. Last year, I hooked up with a company called, now it's part of GoDaddy, but it was called HubStreet. And they came to the store. They took pictures for about 2 hours all over the store, the showroom, the warehouse, and everything else. And then they'll just put up pictures about every 3 days that sometimes if I don't have the time to make a post, at least I know they're doing it, and it's creating engagement. And there are so many times – plus I can edit their captions. There are so many times when I'm just starting to see huge engagement from people on Instagram, and yet a similar post on Facebook may not even get a like. So something to think about as you – start marketing your business, and don't overlook that platform. If you're not currently using Instagram, I would suggest that you at least, you know, download the app, start looking at what people are posting, either celebrities or other businesses near you, and then take that information and see how you can tailor it to your own needs. Let's talk about buying equipment for your business, something that I've been thinking about doing, getting some new equipment for my business. So there are 4 things you should be considering when you go to buy new equipment for your business. Marketing and selling efforts are a waste if you can't provide a quality product or service. So here I have some tips to ensure that you don't break the bank when your equipment breaks. For many small businesses, having the right equipment is the lifeblood of the operation. And with the high cost of equipment and repairs, decisions can't be made lightly. The more meticulous you are, the greater your chances are of success. So whether you're running a new or an existing business, it's stressful to have equipment problems hanging over your head. The expensive nature of equipment, as well as the significant impact it has on productivity, output, and profitability, has to be measured. This means you have to look at every angle and weigh each option before making a decision. And while there are certainly a number of situation-specific factors that a company can go through during an equipment purchase process, the bulk of the decision comes down to factors such as these. The first is the brand. Let's begin with something that most of us deem more important than it actually is, and that's the brand. Now, while there are certain types of equipment where brand is everything, there's also a misconception that you have to purchase from a particular manufacturer in order to be successful. As you evaluate your options, focus on the features, customer testimonials, guarantees, warranties, and quantifiable data. Then take the brand into account. Sometimes the best brand wins, while other times you'll be surprised to learn that the quantitative metrics encourage you to move in a different direction to a different manufacturer. The choice of buying used versus new. Now, brand aside, the most important decision to make is whether to go with new equipment or used equipment, also known as pre-owned. And there's really no right answer here, though there are some pros and cons to each. With used equipment, you could experience breakdowns at critical times, resulting in significant maintenance costs, which can hurt your productivity. But it's almost always less expensive in the short term to repair than it is to replace. Lancaster Farming Locator explains, but in the long run, does making do with used equipment prevent you from accessing new technology and improving your productivity? If you go with new equipment, you get the benefit of original manufacturer warranties, a longer lifespan, and access to the latest features and technology. However, you're going to pay a pretty penny for these perks, and the moment you take ownership of the equipment, it loses much of its resale value. Your budget may dictate that you must go with used equipment, but if you have the financial flexibility to do anything, you'll have to evaluate the pros and cons in light of your situation. Finally, let's talk about financing. If you're like most new business owners, you probably don't have enough in the bank to cover the cost of all of your equipment needs, Cabbage points out. Yes, there are small business loans available, but typically these are not given to new businesses that have yet to establish a track record of success. Credit cards are another option for paying for equipment, but it's important to consider the interest rate and how long you'll take to pay back the amount owed. Financing can be a complicated matter. Do you pay in cash or do you take out a loan? Do you take out a loan with the manufacturer, equipment vendor, or through a small business loan? Should you finance all of the purchase or just a percentage of it? Again, this is a decision that you have to consider in light of your business's situation. Just make sure you're exploring all of the options, as opposed to putting on blinders and sticking with what seems to be the easiest choice. And finally, let's talk about any tax benefits that may be associated with this purchase. The Section 179 depreciation deduction is a tax code that is an incentive for small business owners to help grow their business when purchasing new items, Reliant Funding explains. It's simple to find out if your purchase qualifies and just as easy to file for tax purposes. It can also potentially benefit your bottom line by lowering the purchase amount and may be more beneficial when leasing or financing. Speak with your accountant to determine whether you have opportunities to benefit from tax savings, deductions, and credits with the purchase of equipment, and weigh your options. After considering all of these intricacies, you may come to a clear conclusion, but more than likely, you'll be left with two or three options that all have justifiable pros and cons. Instead of trying to find the perfect option, which may or may not exist, make a choice that seems to make the most sense. In the end, the hope is that the benefits will outweigh the risks and allow your business to focus on what matters most, which is serving customers and increasing your profits. So hopefully that's a little helpful as far as whether or not you're going to buy your equipment, lease your equipment, whether you're going to use credit cards to do it. Every situation is different for every business. Always a good idea to get with your accountant and say, I need to buy this. It costs this much. What do you recommend? And see if there's any advantages tax-wise that they can recommend. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A setback for folks living near a petrochemical fire in the Houston area that's been burning since Sunday.
The city of Deer Park has announced it's under a shelter in place.
Harris County Judge Lina Hidalgo saying the officials with Intercontinental Terminals issued the order just a few hours ago for that entire city because there's been a detection of elevated benzene levels in the air nearby. A Texas National Guard chemical surveillance team has been called in to keep a close watch on the situation. President Trump's to sign an executive order shortly aimed at promoting free speech on campuses after previously threatening to withhold federal research grants to some colleges and universities. Many conservatives have complained for some time that free speech rights, especially when it comes to their side of the equation, are often stifled on America's campuses. And this is USA Radio News.
Get the hottest flooring styles at incredible prices at Lumber Liquidators Spring Black Friday Flooring Sale. All waterproof floors are on sale up to 50% off. Get a dollar off per square foot on select Bellawood hardwood floors and take 20% off new AquaSeal water-resistant laminate. Plus, ask how you can get professional installation and special financing. Get to Lumber Liquidators Spring Black Friday Flooring Sale today. Visit lumberliquidators.com for a store near you.
At Indeed, we believe a resume is a great way to see an overview of a candidate. But you're not hiring a resume, you're hiring a person. That's why we offer tools to give you a deeper sense of the people behind the paper, like skill tests, which let you actually see a candidate's abilities in action to make sure they're a good fit for the job. See beyond the resume with Indeed. Increase your visibility to great candidates with a free sponsored job upgrade on your first job posting at Indeed.com/promo. The sponsored job upgrade is a $50 sponsored job credit. Users are charged once the credit is spent or it expires. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. Working out.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on WHCRDB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me as we get together every week at this time to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small, both here in Flemington, in Huntington County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Whole lot to talk about when it comes to business. We'll get into it a little later with regards to the New Jersey marijuana bill. But I want to talk to you for a minute about one area of business that a lot of business owners talk to me about, and that is, and we're just coming out of it now, but how can you keep business sales booming during crummy winter weather? A lot of times you can almost predict when the forecasters say, well, we're going to get 3 inches of snow. You can almost say, I don't even know why I'm going to open the doors tomorrow because nobody's coming in. But if cold weather creates headaches for your small business, a couple of simple tips can help keep sales up and people safe coming into your business. Now, for small business owners in much of the country, winter is too often an unpredictable, slushy obstacle. Unless your business involves skiing, plowing, or heating, inclement weather can create unforeseen challenges for employers, customers, and employees alike. For instance, icy roads can lead to school cancellations, slick or even closed roads, power outages, and as a result, lost income. Now, if cold weather creates headaches for your small business, these simple tips can help keep sales up and people safe. Same thing applies when you have a lot of rain, tremendous heat waves. If there's anything that's going to prevent people from coming out, somewhat crummy weather, let's talk about how to get people to get into your stores. First, if you're going to close, you want to clearly communicate any closures, delays, or shortened hours. Now, when a winter storm or ice is severe enough to affect your ability to stay open, communicate these changes early and often. You should use all available channels, your website, social media channels, an e-newsletter, sign on the door, closure reported to local news stations to do so. Not only will a customer be frustrated to battle bad weather to go to your location only to find your closed, it may also subject them to an unnecessary risk. And also, another way to combat bad weather is to bring your store to them. So make it easy for them to shop online if you can. Plan ahead by optimizing your website and or e-commerce site. Then when the weather strikes, you'll be prepared to quickly and easily be able to mount a digital campaign inviting your snowed-in customers to use their day off to browse online. Even if all you're able to sell online are service packages, gift certificates, or e-gift cards, you'll have something to promote when your doors are closed. Then also be there to help. Now, if you offer a service or a product that's helpful in cold and crummy weather, be sure to promote or prominently display it. From gloves and scarves to winter hotel packages to snow removal services, don't assume that all your customers are aware of everything you offer. Shout it out throughout the coldest months. Create a cozy experience inside and out. Now, if the weather outside is frightful, but you're able to remain open, make the business of your business delightful. Actually, begin outside by keeping any dedicated parking or sidewalks clear and safe. Inside, a few warm touches like a tea or hot chocolate station, hand warmers, or a coat rack by the door can help delight customers and encourage sales and build brand loyalty and make up the difference. If a winter storm forces closures or takes a bite out of your sales, think outside the box on ways to make up the difference when the sky is clear. Plan to reach out to customers with specials, sales, celebrity appearances, a special customer event, or other ideas to draw to get store traffic humming again. Even planning a simple newsletter and steady, engaging social content in the week following can make a difference. One of the things I do, both in hot weather and cold weather, and it's very easy for everybody to do, and I got the idea from the Clinton Station Diner years ago when we had Superstorm Sandy. A lot of the area was without power. They had it. So what they had suggested was come and charge your cell phones and your iPads and your laptops at the Clinton Station Diner, grab something warm to eat, and you know, then be on your way. What I do in my store, we have a TV in our conference room, so I invite people when it's super cold, if you're going to be working outside, come on in. Go to the coffee shop next door, get a coffee, get something to eat, bring it back to my store, and you know, you can sit, watch TV, warm up, charge your cell phones, charge your laptops, and then you know, hopefully that's creating enough goodwill that when the weather clears, if you need awards, varsity jackets, signs, promotional items, or apparel, you'll come back and talk to us. It's created a ton of goodwill in the community, something we talked about on an earlier story earlier today. And being local, it's really helped engage the community with us. They think very highly of us when we do that. In the summertime, when you get those 100-degree days and you have a stretch of 2 or 3 days, I tell people to use this as a cooling station. It's 70 degrees inside, so get out of the heat, come in, cool off, bring your pets. We'll have a bowl of water for them. That's the kind of stuff that's going to help make a difference for your business. So hopefully you'll consider some of that as well. All right, I want to talk to you about the New Jersey marijuana bill, which is about a week away from a vote, and getting a whole lot of feedback from people, and New Jersey 101.5, same thing. Some are for it, some are against it, some think it's being railroaded through, but after hours of backroom deliberations in Trenton on Monday, two legislative committees advanced the marijuana legalization bill to the full state legislature, which is expected to vote on it next week. If they pass it, the measure would just need the governor's signature to become law. Now, both the state Senate and Assembly are short of the votes required for passage, but Governor Phil Murphy has now entered the fray and is now helping swing votes. Legislative leaders have shown public confidence that they think legalization will pass on March 25th. So let's take a look at the two possibilities and how that affects when weed sales could start in New Jersey. Now, first of all, what if weed is legalized next week? Legalization is a misleading way to put it, at least at first. If lawmakers pass the bill next week, you wouldn't be allowed to just start walking around with weed in your pocket the next day. The measure gives regulators up to 6 months to make the specific rules of the industry, and it wouldn't be legal to use or possess marijuana until the rules are approved and sales start. Lawmakers have done this so as not to legitimize the marijuana black market. If the bill were to pass next week, the first possible sales would likely take about 6 months to start, assuming the existing medical marijuana dispensaries are approved to start selling to the public. The bill allows medical marijuana dispensaries to sell to the public as early as 6 months after passage, as long as they get permission from the state and they have enough marijuana to sell to their patients first. So if a lot of things fall into place, you could buy in New Jersey by this fall. But as we've seen, things don't always fall into place in Trenton. Now, what happens if the bill doesn't pass this time? We've heard from legislative sources that the Assembly is still a couple of votes shy of the 41 needed for passage, and the Senate still needs a few more lawmakers to swing. There was also significant opposition from Republican legislators on Monday, including some who had been considered gettable votes. With less than a week before the scheduled vote, the governor and legislative leaders still have a lot of work to do to get the bill through. If New Jersey's new legal weed bill doesn't pass, these three things could be to blame. Before a vote later this month, lawmakers may have to work through a few of these potential hang-ups. If marijuana wasn't legalized this spring, it would likely go to the ballot for voters to decide. State Senate President Stephen Sweeney has since said that that's not going to happen. Sweeney, a Democrat out of Gloucester County, said earlier this month that if they can't get legalization done this month, that he'd push it to after the election in November. If this happens, we're looking at the summer of 2020 before weed sales could likely start. A lot will happen in the next week as we approach the legalization vote, but if and when you'll be able to legally buy marijuana is going to be in the lawmakers' hands. On the New Jersey 101.5 last night, there was the conversation about what's going to happen with all the revenue that's generated from marijuana sales. And as my wife and I were listening to the program, we couldn't help but start laughing. The first thing that they say they're going to use the money for is education about marijuana. Why are we educating people about marijuana when we're saying you can buy it at the local dispensary? They pretty much figured it out already. So that's slush fund number one. And the second would be that the rest of the money would go towards the general fund, which basically gives the legislature, the governor, a free, piggy bank to do whatever they want. And if you think back 20, 30 years, I think it was Christy Whitman who approved a $300 million tunnel for one of the Atlantic City casinos to get to the marina. $300 million out of the state treasury and over there. There was, within three governors, we had spent about $1 billion. So if we generate all this money in marijuana sales, where else can we find a way in the state of New Jersey to waste that money? Trust me when I tell you, your legislatures are very good at wasting money. So now, rather than having a specific percentage that's going to be designed for elder care, for senior citizens, for education, for whatever the state needs, for road infrastructure, we're just basically saying it's all going into one big pot and, sorry to use the word pot, it's going into one big bowl and, sorry to use the word bowl, it's going into one account and then we'll just pick and choose what we're going to spend it on. I don't think that that's going to be the most productive way to handle this new source of income. It sounds like they don't have the votes. It sounds like it'll probably end up happening next year. But what are your thoughts? Do you think that legalizing marijuana is a good thing? And then as an employer, how do you handle an employee who you know is using marijuana? Not necessarily on the job, but maybe they've smoked it the night before, they're coming in. If these are people that are working with dangerous machinery, if these are people that are driving company vehicles, it's putting you at risk. And that's one of the questions that a friend of mine who owns a store in Colorado brought up was, I can't say you can't have the job because you failed a drug test because now it's legal in the state. But what liability is it opening him up to have a person who's smoking weed and impaired and driving a company vehicle? And what he's found is that because it keeps him up at night, he's the one who's out making deliveries. He doesn't trust anybody on his staff to be that person since he knows that most of them are using. As a recruiter in the pharmaceutical industry years ago, when I would have to have my candidates take drug tests, we would caution them constantly about, if I'm not saying you do or you don't, but if you do smoke marijuana, you got to make sure that it's out of your system. It takes about 30 days. Now we don't have that option, and we have to say it's okay. Whether or not a employer will hire the person or not has yet to be determined, but I think one of the things I would like to see in this bill is some form of protection for employers that says if an employee knowingly operates a vehicle, knowingly operates dangerous machinery while they're high, that you're excluded from liability. It's very hard. I can tell if a person is drunk. It would be very hard for me to tell if a person was comfortably numb from using marijuana. I had the experience where one of my employees was an alcoholic and she was drunk on the job. And when I called her on it, initially she denied it, but another two or three times she couldn't deny it. We finally had to let her go. But again, the liability that I was exposed to of her getting hurt in the business or potentially building something that could hurt somebody else was just too great. So these are difficult questions, and I don't know that whatever income they're thinking they're going to make is going to be enough to offset what could potentially happen down the road. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. A whole lot more to get to right after this.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Aw, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the host of this program, as I've been for about 7.5 years. Love getting together with you every Thursday to talk about one of my favorite topics, and that's business. So, again, glad you could join me. Before the show, during the preview, I mentioned that I had a story about a CEO who hopes to hear 3 questions from the people that he interviews for positions, but very seldom does. And I wanted to share what those were so that if you're looking for work, maybe it's something you would consider using in your upcoming interviews. Now, at the end of most job interviews, the hiring manager will turn the tables and ask, "So, do you have any questions for me?" And I used to prepare my candidates for interviews that they had to be prepared with some form of questions. And what I would always say was, ask them this question. I'm a very goal-oriented person. I need to know how I'm going to be measured in the first 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. What do you need me to accomplish in that time frame? And when my candidates would ask that question, it put the interviewer not on the defensive, but in a very thoughtful mood. And they would say, "Well, here's the chief problem that we have to fix. And are you that person?" I'd also tell the candidate another question to ask would be, "Is before we leave here, is there anything else you need to know about me that I can clarify so that, there's no questions when I leave, that you'll know everything you need to know about me in order to make an informed decision?" Again, if there's something nagging one of the interviewers, if you're in a team interview situation or it's nagging someone in human resources, they don't know how to ask the question, you've just opened the door and said, "Ask me anything you want. I'm an open book." And when you do that, it may just be that they either know something about you, they Googled something about you, and they just want a little bit of clarification. It just hadn't come up in the interview prior. So the 3 questions that one CEO hopes to hear from everyone but hardly ever does are these, and we'll get into it. But most candidates use the time when asked, "Do you have any questions for me?" to talk about salary and job requirements. But David Melancon, who's the CEO of BTR, a corporate rankings platform that focuses on holistic performance, says these are 3 questions that are far more important and most people fail to ask them. So here are the questions. The first one, if you want to write them down, is, What qualities will a person in this role need to be successful in your company's culture, both as an individual and as a worker? So here, you're asking the CEO of the company or the hiring manager, what are you looking for in me? What do you, so if they were to say, hey, you got to be a team player, you got to be, we all work in groups and you got to be able to work on project teams, that's what they want. That's what they want you to know. The company's culture is what it is. And it's easy for a company to use their own buzzwords to talk about their culture. We're hard charging, we're hands on, we're mission driven, we're entrepreneurial, Melanchon explains. Often these words describe the company leaders or refer to aspirations of the company, but they're not always easy to translate directly to every role. So let's say you're applying to be an administrative assistant. How does entrepreneurial apply? Maybe you're going to be an intern in the human resources department or an accounting clerk. What does mission driven mean to that role? By asking about the qualities needed for success, you enable the interviewer to give you specifics that apply to yourself and your role within the culture that you're interviewing for, rather than the company lying about itself. Now, the second question, what's the company's position on education and development, including student loan reimbursement and tuition assistance? You've put a lot of effort and investment into your education, and it's possible, especially if this is an entry-level job, that you may not yet be making a salary commensurate with that, says Melanchon. Some companies realize that and offer assistance in paying off students' loans or assist in furthering your education. He says, do they have programs that allow you to continue your education? Understanding the company's point of view on education, past and future, as well as how it implements that POV and benefits, is important. A lot of times when you join a company, they take you for who you are. As you get into a role, you realize maybe your education didn't quite cut it. Maybe a master's degree, maybe a certificate program would help. That's when you want to know, are they paying for it or does it have to come out of your pocket? And finally, third, how does the company keep employees excited, innovative, and motivated? Companies have a vested interest in keeping their employees on top of their game. So how does this company do it? Financial benefits such as profit sharing, merit raises, and spot bonuses can be powerful motivators, says Melanchon. But non-financial benefits such as extra days off, summer Fridays, free meals, happy hours, and company outings are often all culture-driven ways that companies can keep employees feeling motivated and excited. So hopefully, if you were writing any of that down, you'd know where to start and the types of questions that they're looking for. I often told my candidates, don't ask about salary, don't ask about time off, don't ask about vacation. We'll get to that with the human resources. That's a negotiable point later. When you're interviewing with the hiring manager, it's got to be role-driven. And hopefully, I know many of my candidates took that to heart. And, they realized that, it had to be job specific. I want to talk about one more thing that's very interesting. We've experienced great economic growth over the past 18, 24 months and a little bit further beyond that. Right now, the challenge for employers is that there's too many jobs and not enough workers. So if you're currently out of work or if you're thinking of making a job change, this is what we call a candidate-driven market. There are about 7 million open jobs and only 3 million people on unemployment rolls. So now is the time to go out and find the job. And it doesn't have to necessarily be the job you've always done. And what I tell people is you may have been, you may have worked in a lumberyard. Let's scrap that. You may have been an accountant for 20 or 30 years. You can't find a job in the accounting industry. Are there other positions that you can take that will help you contribute to the family? So maybe you were an accountant for 30 years. That field isn't hiring right now. You make a shift. You go to work at Home Depot. You go to work at Wegmans. You go to work anywhere that is hiring so that you can contribute to the family. Where I always had problems with candidates was they would take a severance package or they would go on unemployment and they would just wait it out. And I had one gentleman had a great severance package. It was the equivalent of about $150,000. And he told me, I'm probably not going to do anything for about 9 months. He had figured out that was the burn rate before he had to get back to work. I said, no, we got to get started now. Think about it. If you got a job within the next 2 or 3 weeks and you had that $150,000, you weren't going to burn through it. Your new salary would be on top of it. That's like winning $100,000 in the lottery. Then he called me in a panic. But with about 3 or 4 weeks left before He went through all the money and said, you got to get me a job. Now it was all on me. I would say that, you know, that's not the time to do it. And again, if you can contribute to the family and offset that burn rate, it's tremendously important to do that, especially in today's economy. Healthcare is so expensive. Everything's so expensive. Education is. Get out there. Get to work. It may not be what you want to do. Sometimes it may be what you have to do. In sports, the NBA and NHL seasons are marching toward the playoffs. In NASCAR news, Kyle Busch won the Auto Club 400 last weekend for his 200th career win across all three of NASCAR's series, including the Xfinity Series and trucks. This week, the teams head to Martinsville Speedway for the STP 500 Sunday at 2 p.m. In Martinsville. In Major League Baseball, opening day is just a week away. And as I mentioned earlier, today and tomorrow are the least productive days in American business. It is the start of the NCAA tournament, which happened today at noon. The road to the Final Four has begun. Did you fill out your bracket yet? Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com. Or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on the show's new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. And for more information about me and my businesses, visit JimGano.com. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
National Guard troops have been called into Houston after a chemical fire continues to burn.
Burning since Sunday, a chemical fire in the Houston area has officials now asking residents of Deer Park to stay indoors as they've detected higher levels of benzene.
We're being very conservative. The safety of our community is our number one concern.
Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo, who says they have local and state partners keeping a very close eye on the situation. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is condemning the detention of Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido's chief of staff. In a tweet today, Pompeo blasted Nicolas Maduro's security staff for detaining the chief of staff and called for his immediate release. Pompeo says anyone involved will be held accountable, and President Trump is signing an executive order today aimed at promoting free speech on campus. You're listening to USA Radio News.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Increase your visibility to great candidates with a free sponsored job upgrade on your first job posting at Indeed.com/promo. The sponsored job upgrade is a $50 sponsored job credit. Users are charged once the credit is spent or it expires. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Liberty Mutual Insurance knows you're focusing on the road right now, so we'll just describe our newspaper print ad to you. It's a tiny square that's colored a newspaper shade of gray that has you thinking yellow. As the words read, Liberty Mutual customizes your insurance so you only pay for what you need. Now that's the kind of print ad that'll make you glad you still read newspapers.
Go to libertymutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates, Equal Housing Insurer.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo took a jab at Democrats over anti-Semitism following controversial comments made by Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and the American support of Israel. Pompeo says anti-Semitism cannot be tolerated anywhere.
Sadly, we in the United States have seen anti-Semitic language uttered even in the great halls of our own capital. This should not be.
Good news for business owners, as we hear from USA Radio Network's Wendy King.
The Federal Reserve decided to leave interest rates unchanged and suggested there will be no more rate hikes this year. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell says it's not because of a dire outlook on the economy.
The limited data that we have do show a slowdown. On the other hand, as I mentioned, we see the underlying economic fundamentals for growth this year as still very positive.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
There will never be a Hurricane Florence or Michael because of the devastation caused by those two storms last year. Those names are being retired. This is USA Radio News.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple.